take your Bible, and we'll be in Luke. Luke chapter 2. And we'll read the first seven verses of this. And this is a familiar passage, and I'm sure that you've heard it before or read it during like Christmas times. But there's more here than just the fact that Christ was born. The Bible wasn't written just to give us information about historical things that happened, you know. This happened, obviously. Christ, it's historically proven that Jesus Christ was a real person. He was born. But that's not the reason, the main purpose behind the Holy Spirit telling Luke to write this passage. There's something that God wants us to know about who we are and about who God is. And I'm hoping that by the end of tonight, we will see what that is. But first, let's read the text. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so like I said, I mean, those are familiar passages, but there's something that God wants us to know. And the title of the message this evening is that God is still in control. Might not make sense to you right now, but as we go through it, I think you'll understand. God is still in control. So let's pray and ask God's help, and we'll get into the message tonight. Lord, we are thankful again to be here in your house. Lord, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, I'm just humbled and thankful to be preaching your word tonight. And I know who I am and how unworthy that I am. But I just pray that you would use me, Lord, and speak through me and just move me out of the way even and just speak to your people tonight. Help us to be open and attentive to your word. And it's Christ's name that I pray. Amen. So there's what seems to be a principle of life that many today recognize as Murphy's Law. Who knows what Murphy's Law is? If you don't know what Murphy's Law is, once I read it to you, I'm sure you're going to immediately relate to it. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Murphy's Law says this: anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Let's think about that for a second. How true that is. Anything that will go wrong in life, really any aspect of life, anything that will go wrong, that can go wrong, will go wrong. That's Murphy's Law. If there's a way for what we're doing or what we're planning to do to be messed up, that's going to happen. That thing that messes up our life, whatever we're doing in life. Now, that's obviously not true, because there's a lot of bad things that can happen to us that don't happen to us, right? But there are times in life when we're convinced that Murphy's Law is just as real as gravity, okay? Like, that is a law of life that we cannot escape, right? Now, tonight we're going to be talking about a very specific application of Murphy's Law, that life sometimes has a way of happening at exactly the wrong time, doesn't it? I recently started, you guys know, started working at the Falls City Public Schools as a bus driver. And so a few weeks ago, I was studying to get my CDL, my commercial driver's license, and I took the test, and I passed them and all of that, so that was great. So I had my permit, and I did some driving with the bus barn guy Monday and everything, and that following Wednesday, I was scheduled to go out with him, his name was Rob, and go drive around with him, and then go to the DMV and get my CDL, right? That was going to be on Wednesday. This is Monday that I drove in the first time. Wednesday was my first time to go out there, meet him at the bus barn, and, you know, basically my first day at the bus barn, Wednesday, okay? Pretty excited about that, right? Well, I woke up on Tuesday with my lungs burning, all from here to here, hurt, every time I moved, mostly when I breathed, which is a lot. You forget how much you breathe until they burn every time you breathe. So anyway, so I woke up, lungs are burning, pretty much no voice. I had borderline bronchitis. I guess I didn't actually get to bronchitis. I caught it in time. It was borderline. I thought for sure I had bronchitis. But anyway, so I took a lot of vitamins, you know. I took some medicine. I drank a lot of water. You know, I drank the hot tea with the honey. Everything I could do. Because the next day, it was like my first day at the bus barn. I have no voice, you know. So I did everything I could. So Wednesday morning, woke up, you know, with good spirits. Woke up. It was much worse on Wednesday morning than it was on Tuesday morning. Like, it was bad. I had no voice. So I went to the bus barn, you know, coughing a lot. It was gross. Won't get into all of it, but there's some pretty colors happening. So I get there, you know, perfect timing, right, for all of this. And so I get there, and, you know, I push some words out, you know, to the bus barn guy. I said, I'm here to, you know, drive the bus and stuff. And he's like, you okay? Like, yeah. It's just allergies. So, yeah, no big deal, you know, you just did. So, you know, I get in there, drive with him, go to the DMV, drive with them. And I don't know, if you remember taking your drive test, you know, they're like, what about that and what about that? Your CDL test is like that, but like 10 times more. Like, what does that sign say? Oh, that sign over there said, what? I said, now I'm not looking at the road anymore because I talked to her, you know, so it was great. But anyway, we got through it, and it was fine, you know, so praise the Lord. Well, that was Wednesday. Thursday, what do we have on Thursday? Church. What do I do? You guys probably remember that day. We sang Amazing Grace. Remember that? Like, yeah, we're going to sing Amazing Grace because I am not helping with you and you know this. And so it was great. Yep, it was good. And then the next Sunday was the revival, right? So I was thinking this whole time, like, okay, it's bad enough to have this bronchitis deal, this borderline bronchitis, crazy allergy deal. But could there have been a worse time, you know, for me to have all of this? It was a bummer. So sometimes unavoidable things that you have really no control over, they seem to come at the worst times possible sometimes, right? It's so funny because I wrote this sermon originally for nursing home. So that was last Tuesday. That's when I had nursing home, Tuesday. So I'm leaving, I'm going to the nursing home. And Lane Street, remember Lane Street being worked on? They ripped up the street and everything. And so I preach at the nursing home at 6:30. I try to get there at like 6:10, 6:15 so I can talk to them and everything, you know. So I'm leaving, I'm working on Lane Street, and I remember, you know, they've been tearing up the street and everything. Well, I come up to Lane, and Lane Street is closed. Lane closed. Oh, well, no big deal. I'll just go north, you know, the retirement center. It's on like 28th Street or something, so I'll just take right, and then whenever it opens up, I'll go, and then I'll cross lane. So I'm driving, look over, lane closed. Okay, 22nd, 23rd, lane closed, 24th, get all the way to 26th Street, which if you know Lane, after 26th Street, you're turning around or you're going a different direction. You can't, you know, can't go north anymore. So I get there, lane's still closed. Sweet. So I turn around, all the way back, all the way to like 17th Street, right? Then I could cross. So that was pretty awesome. So they decided, you know, they've been working on this thing for a week, and then the one time I need to, like, make an appointment at a certain time, that's when they pave it. And they pave it from 17th Street all the way to 26th Street, all at the same time. Perfect. You know? Fantastic. So then I get over there. This is the best part. This is awesome. So I get on Harlan, which is right by Lane. You can see Lane from Harlan, driving on Harlan. They're taking down the street closed signs as I'm driving on Harlan. They would have done this 10 minutes before. It would have been no problem. So this, I was preaching this sermon. Anyways, the Lord knows. Anyway, so, blessing. So, anyway, so there are times when it seems like if something can go wrong, it will go wrong, right? I don't think I have to prove to you that this kind of thinking, it probably goes through your head at times, you know, because sometimes unavoidable events in the lives of God's people happen right at the wrong time. Like, how about the elections? We're not even going to go there. We won't even talk about it. Or teens, how about when you get that third eye pimple right there on the day of the pictures, the school picture day? That's the day, right? You never, perfect face all year. One day, you wake up, big red dot right there. That's the picture day every time. Or how about when you finally find that Taco Bell coupon? Finally found it. The day after it expires. No! Right? This is the way it happens. No, but how about when your transmission goes out just right after you lose your job? kind of thing happens, right? Or what about when your daughter needs to have a major surgery a week before your new health insurance kicks in? Stuff like that. I'm just simply saying that sometimes in your life, things happen at exactly the worst times, it seems like, right? Somebody says, you know, Brother Chad, what does all of this have to do with Christ being born? What are you talking about? You know, and we probably, like I said, we probably read this before, and we think about the warm fuzzies of the Christmas time and all of that, and we probably think about the beautiful nativity scenes in people's yards and everything like that. But just imagine that you're Theophilus right now. Just kind of get all of that out of your brain for a second, and you're Theophilus, and you're reading this for the first time. You don't know the whole story. You know, you're learning, and you're reading this for the very first time. And just put, if you put that aside and think about what's actually going on, you might see that the kind of situation that we've been talking about is seems to be exactly what's going on in the life of Joseph and Mary. Okay, so just think about it without all of the Christmas story feelings. Just think about what's being written here and imagine, put yourself in Theophilus' shoes tonight. Okay, so Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that all the world should be taxed in their own city. Look with me at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city." So this wasn't simply just paying taxes like we would know it today, but it was essentially like a census. The word tax here actually means to enter into the public records the names of men, their property, and income. That's what the word tax here means. So basically, they were enrolling themselves in the system of Rome so that they could pay taxes. Yay! Right? Awesome. So when Luke says all of the world, obviously it's not like the entire world. He's talking about the Roman Empire. And at that time, when you said the world, you knew that meant the Roman Empire because that was basically the known world at that time. Okay? So the whole Roman Empire was going to have to do this. Okay, they all had to do it. And the way that Caesar Augustus had Israel specifically do it was that he would have them each go to their own city, which means to travel to their ancestral home, which would have been something that the Jews would have, you know, known about. And it would, the Roman Empire, Caesar would try to make things work in each culture to keep things together. And so the Israelites, he would have them go to their ancestral home. And they all knew what that meant, and that worked with their culture. And so this was an unavoidable event that Joseph and Mary's lives, that was in their life, and they had no control over it, okay? And they were going to have to go to the city of Joseph's lineage, his ancestral home, his own city, okay? So what city was that? Well, it says in verse 4, "And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth," that's where they were, right? They were all from the city of Nazareth, "into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Okay, so Joseph needed to travel to Bethlehem to register for his taxes because he was one of the house and lineage of David. Okay, so that's what's going on. So at first reading, we're going to read through this passage and go through it. At first reading, and without knowing God's overall plan here, it seems like this thing couldn't have gone any worse for them, for Mary and Joseph. Again, just put aside what you already know, the Christmas story, and just put yourself in Joseph and Mary's shoes for just a second, okay? First of all, like we said, they had to go register so that they could pay taxes. And who enjoys paying taxes, right? Anybody in here? Don't lie to me, okay? We are in church. Now, not only that, but how much of a bummer would it have been if you had to travel somewhere to make sure that you were in the system so that you can pay taxes? Wouldn't that be like a great time of rejoicing in your life? Joseph, he was of the line of David, so they had to travel to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was about 90 miles away from Nazareth. Okay? That's kind of a bummer. So they had to travel 90 miles. There's no cars. They're walking 90 miles just so that they can register to pay their taxes to the government. Sweet. Right? Then let's look at the next verse, verse 5. "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So Mary was very pregnant at this time. Luke said that she was great with child, which means she was expecting like any time. And so they have to walk 90 miles, which is a long walk, but a longer walk with a woman who is very late in her pregnancy. See how that's kind of a bummer? Like, how can this get worse? Could it get any worse? Well, let's look at verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So she had her baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son, who we know is Jesus Christ, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So not only did she have to walk 90 miles as a pregnant lady, you know, to Bethlehem, not only that, she was in a strange city, out of the comfort of home, and she delivers there in Bethlehem, outside the comforts of home, and gave birth to Jesus in a stable because there was no room in the inn. That's a bummer. I'm going to explain all that. So because of the census, anyone of the lineage of David was in Bethlehem. Anybody. Anybody who was of David's line. That's a lot of people. They were all in Bethlehem. So that means that all of the inns, all the rooms were stocked full, okay? So when she goes into labor, you know, they get there, she's in labor, what are we going to do? Let's find us a room. No rooms. Okay? So put yourself in her shoes. Pregnant lady just walked 90 miles away from home in this strange city. I'm going in labor. There's no rooms. So we're going to go to a stable. And now when you think about the nativity scene, you're thinking about the beautiful, clean nativity scene in the yard, you know, all the coziness and the happy animals. But this is a stable. Like, this is where animals live. Not good. A lot of gross things happen where the animals live. Okay? Probably not the place you'd pick to have your firstborn baby, right? Then they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, which, you know, that's just, you know, the clothes that the Jews would wrap around their baby because they probably were expecting that they'd have a child soon. They probably brought those with them. They didn't. I doubt they had swaddling clothes in the manger. I mean, in the stable place. They probably brought them with them. And then they didn't have access to much. They were in a stable. So they laid the baby in a manger. Now, we hear the word manger, and we think again of the cozy little hay-filled box. Nice, so cool, so comfy, you know. But this is actually the feed trough of an animal. Like, of the animals that stayed in the stable, they put their baby, newborn, firstborn baby, not at their home, this strange city, just walked 90 miles, newborn baby, they're in a stable, and they put their baby in the feed trough in the stable. Ugh. Right? Probably not the most sanitary place to put your baby. Okay, it definitely wasn't the most comfortable way for a child to be born, right? But because of the timing of the government's, you know, census, they had no control over that, and they really had no other choice than to do it this way, because that's just how life was. That's what life brought them. And life happened, it seemed like, at the worst possible time, right? And even though the timing of such a census seemed like it couldn't have been timed worse, there's no indication that Mary and Joseph were upset or anxious or worried or anything like that. There's nothing in the text that says that. And why is that? Well, it's because of the mindset of Mary that was described back in chapter 1, verse 38. Look back there. Chapter 1, verse 38, Christ just told Mary, not Christ, but Gabriel, told Mary that she is going to have the Messiah, and she's a virgin, and she's going to have a Messiah, and she's really confused. Like, what are you talking about? And he said, it's okay. This is what God's going to do. And this is her mindset. She doesn't know, she doesn't understand, how is this going to be possible? I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a child? She doesn't understand. Then there's nothing that says that she does get it, okay? But this is what she says in verse 38. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That was her mindset. She didn't always understand what was happening at certain times in her life, but this is her view in life. Be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever you want for my life, God, that's what I want for my life. And that was her mindset. Joseph and Mary saw how that God had been working in their life over the last few months, or several months, and they knew that God was in control. And they simply trusted him and his plan. And that's what got them through this terrible time. I mean, if you really think about what's going on, what can go worse? What can go wrong? You know, what else can go wrong here? Well, God used this seemingly poorly timed event in Joseph and Mary's life to fulfill his sovereign plan in their lives. Micah 5:2, and this was written hundreds of years before Joseph and Mary were even born. It says this in Micah 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, which is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. This is what Micah was saying. Micah said that the Messiah is going to come and that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. It said that directly in Micah. This is hundreds of years before. Okay? Now, Joseph and Mary, they were living in Nazareth, right? Remember that? That's not Bethlehem. Okay? So they had to somehow get to Bethlehem from Nazareth if Mary was truly supposed to be the mother of the Messiah. Because the Messiah is born in Bethlehem. That's what Micah said, right? Even more than that, the events surrounding Christ's birth, all of that, you know, the stable and having no room and kind of even dejected, it displays the perfectly displays the humble example that Jesus wanted for his people to have. The example that Christ gave to his people. Christ didn't come to be a powerful ruler and to take charge. He came as a humble servant to minister unto people. And that was the mindset that he wanted his followers to have. So what better way to be born if you're going to accomplish that purpose than in a stable and in a manger, right? So when you separate God's overall plan from the situation and simply look at what was happening in their lives, it seemed like things couldn't have gone any worse, right? If you're just looking at it, if you're just seeing the facts and what's going on, things could not be worse. But when you step back from all of it and you just see it in the light of the whole plan of God, it couldn't have been planned any better, right? Because they needed to get to, look at, she was very late in her pregnancy and she needs to get to Bethlehem or the prophecy is a lie, right? If she has the baby in Nazareth, either that's not the Messiah or Micah was wrong, right? And this was right before the pregnancy that this happened and this thing's happened in her life and she moves to Nazareth, right? Now, I highly doubt that Caesar Augustus was there and he was thinking, there's probably a virgin lady in Nazareth who's pregnant. And she probably has the Messiah in her belly. And Micah said that she's supposed to be giving birth in Bethlehem. And I bet you that her espoused husband is of the line of David. And so I probably need to make this decree so that they would have a reason to come from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I don't think that went through his head. Right? He was thinking, I want money from my people. Okay? So, God used the free will decision of a pagan ruler who's not thinking about God. He used the pagan ruler's decision to bring about his perfect purpose and in his perfect timing. Do you see that? Some people say, you know, God is sovereign and in control of everything. So, how are we having free choice? This doesn't make any sense. Because if God's in control of everything, doesn't He control our choices? Well, God is so sovereign, listen to this, this is important, that God is so sovereign that He allows you to have a free will. Because God is so sovereign that He can give people the free will to make their own choice, their own decision, out of their own volition, and use those decisions to accomplish His purposes, to accomplish His will. That's how in control that God is. That He's... If he made you do things, that wouldn't be very impressive because we can set things up and make it happen and manipulate. But God is so in control and so sovereign that He can give you the ability to make a choice of your own volition and then use those for His purposes. That's how in control that God is. That's a lot. Just think about that for a second. That's kind of a deep thing. Are we okay? Okay. So there might be some things going on in your life that you would rather they come at a different time. Right? Or probably not even at all. That'd be nice. Something. Remember my cough that I had? And the bummer that it was? Well, I remember thinking when I had it, that Tuesday morning, I was like, why couldn't this have come at a different time? Why now? I get this every year. Why now? You know? I can't, like, why not a week ago? I could have healed up for it and be good now. Well, in order to get my CDL, I have to go in for a physical to get my bus permit, okay? So I went to the doctor right after my first day, you know, that embarrassing day. I was talking and just drive around. So I left there and I went straight to the doctor, okay? And I made my appointment for the physical that I had to have for the bus permit. And then I asked them, is it possible that maybe you can bill the physical to the school like it's supposed to, and then at the same time bill the visit for me to get this cough thing looked at so it can be better, right? That's what I wanted to happen. Well, she looked really puzzled. said, I don't know, I've never done that before. She went back, talked to the doctor. The doctor said, you know, back to the doctor, and the doctor said, anyway, when you're living with four little boys. Anyway, so come back. So that she went and asked the doctor. And the doctor told her, that's better, that, sorry, I lost it. Woo! Okay, let's start over. So I asked her, can you bill the physical to the school and then bill the doctor visit for my bronchitis deal to me? And then she asked the doctor told her that I'm going to be looking down your throat for the physical, and I'm going to be checking your breathing for the physical anyway, so let's just bill it all at once, and we'll just bill the school for one visit, and you won't have to pay anything. Cool! Isn't that awesome? So that was pretty great. So I didn't have to pay, I didn't pay a dime for that doctor visit. And you know, I don't have, like, the greatest insurance. I know you're surprised, but I'm 25, you have the greatest insurance ever. But so I'd have to be paying a lot for just a doctor visit. It's a bummer. So, I mean, I would go to this extra shady one in Oklahoma, that, you know, they didn't really care. I just needed an antibiotic. I knew it. So I would just go there and give it to them. Anyway, but I'm here in Falls City. There's no one in the shady. I don't want to know if there is, okay? But anyway, so I was going to have to pay a lot because I went to the hospital. But I didn't pay a dime for any of my doctor visit. So what I thought was the worst possible timing for me to have this thing was actually the best possible timing for me to have this thing. And God provided for me to get my doctor visit and pay nothing for it. Isn't that cool? It's pretty awesome. So now, like, sometimes God gives us little things like that to show us, look, I'm still in control. Even when things seem like they're in the worst time, I'm still in control. But not always does that happen. Sometimes we never, ever understand why things happen the way they do, why things are timed the way that they are. But no matter what is going on in your life, or how much it seems like life is just totally against you, you can just step back and look at it in the whole spectrum of God's plan, and you can know this, that God is still in control, no matter how life is going for you. You might be suffering through some illness that's limiting you in some way, keeping you out of work, or maybe it's a lifelong illness or something like that. You can rest in the fact that God knows, and He still is in control. Or maybe there's some finances that aren't where they need to be, and you don't see how you're going to pay off these major expenses that are coming up in your life. You can just know that it's no surprise to God. He knows what's going on, and God is still in control. Things happen in your life that you just have no control over. It does. Things happen. And like I said, they can disrupt your plans that you have, or they can even, they might cause your life to become less pleasant than maybe you would want your life to be, or maybe your plans would make you to be, right? But if you just look at the situation by itself, separated from God and His plan, you might think it couldn't get any worse. And that can happen. But you just need to step back and look at it in the spectrum of God's plan, and you can know that God is in perfect control. No matter what's going on, here's what you can know and rest in. God knows, God loves you, and He's in perfect control of your life. And you might be thinking, man, if I was in control of this thing, things would be going way better in my life right now. You're wrong. You're totally wrong. Because you don't know everything. And you don't love yourself as much as God loves you. I know that sounds crazy, but God loves you more than you even love yourself. And God knows everything that's going on. And He's in control of everything. And He knows best in your life. And you're not going to do a better job than what God will do with your life. And so God loves you. Know that He knows what's best. He will accomplish His purposes in your life. Just trust Him and give it to God. Even when life seems to be going out of control and you don't know what's going on, you can just trust Him. Just step back. Stop getting so caught up in what's actually the different circumstances of your life and the different phases in your life and what's going on this day and what could have happened and all of these what ifs and all of these things. Stop it and just know that God is in control. He knows the beginning from the end. He sees everything going on in your life and everybody else's life, and He's at work. God is at work all the time. You can just know that. And He loves you more than you can even know. And He knows best in your life. So just know this, that even when life seems out of control, that God is still in control. Okay? Even when life seems out of control, God is still in control. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you love us. Lord, thank you that you are a personal God and you're working in our lives constantly. And we just want to stop and recognize who we are and how frail we are. And Lord, that we don't know what's best. And we know that you do. Help us to surrender to you and just give our lives to you, Lord, and just give the circumstances of our life to you and just trust you with them and to know that you're in control. Help us to be tender to what you want us to do. We love you in Christ and I pray. Amen.